I made mention earlier, and most of you are aware that my family and I took a trip recently. We boarded a jet airplane all the way down to Miami, Florida, celebrated the gift of... That's a pretty long flight. Some of you may have made long flights like that before. I remember the first real long flight that Luke ever made with us. We were flying to California. He had traveled little short flights before, you know, just little on little planes, small planes, maybe 1 hour flights. But when you get on that plane flying out to California, that can be about a 5 hour flight. And Luke was much younger then, and we had traveled for several hours in the air, and finally getting a little exhausted, he said, "Dad, are we almost there?" And I said, "No, son, we're only about halfway. We got about this much more to go." He said, "Man, Dad, this is the slowest plane I've ever been on." Sometimes we don't get there as quick as we want, right? We get tired of waiting and watching. And lo and behold, we have in our scripture today an appeal to us from Jesus to wait and to watch. You know, on first reflection, when I heard these words, watch, that continue to appear, that theme in our text today, I often think, I don't know about y'all, but I'm tempted to think about watch out, look out, be alert. You better have everything together. Here comes Santa Claus, right? We remember that from our youth. You better watch out, right? You better not pout, because Santa Claus is coming to town. You better be good. Watch out that you're doing everything you should be doing. And certainly, there may be inspiration that we need to hear this scripture in that way. There are words from Jesus that we need to prepare ourselves. We need to have our hearts right and ready to receive the glory of the Lord. But I think there's another message in this text too. To watch and to wait and to know that something better is coming. I say it this way. We were at my in-laws' this past week celebrating Thanksgiving, as I know many of you did, celebrate this joyful season where we remember all that we're blessed with. And don't we all have a list of blessings? God is good and sustains us through whatever we journey in life. And as we were at my in-laws, they were talking about their faithful dog, Jake. And Jake, sometimes when they leave town, he pouts a little bit. Grace Ann told me she had that problem with her pug recently. He pouted. Does any of y'all's dogs ever pout? They have a way of doing that, don't they? They don't get their way, it hurts their feelings. They get tired of waiting sometimes. My in-law said that old Jake, when Charlie leaves the house, Manya's dad, he'll sit at that door and he'll just wait no matter who comes or what they're doing. He seems to be undisturbed by anything because he's waiting and watching for his master's return. There's a faithfulness there, isn't there? There's an expectancy. And that's what I think this text speaks to me about truly watching and waiting. That's the promise of hope, isn't it? It's not just hoping we get this for Christmas, hoping we don't have too much homework, hoping that my work goes the way I want it to go. No, there's an anticipation, an excitement, a watching, a knowing. Old Jake knew that Charlie would return. So he waited and he watched with anticipation and the hope that sustained him through even his darkest pouting as a dog. There was a movie several years ago, some of you may have seen, called Hope Floats. And I'm most intrigued by the title of that movie. The truth in that title. Hope. This day we celebrate at the beginning of Advent. This day, this theme of that little simple four-letter word, hope. It's more than just wanting something to happen. It's a reassurance that something better is coming. And what does it do? It indeed, in the words of the movie title, floats us. What does it mean to float us? When we boarded that plane this week, as we made our trip down to Miami and later the Florida Keys, I shared with someone earlier, I said, this pastoral business is hard stuff. You have to go and perform weddings in tropical islands. But I endured. I prevailed because I had hope. And when we were on that flight, that flight attendant, they stood before us and they said, now when you're flying over the water, y'all know the routine, those of you who've flown, right? When you're flying over the water and if the plane goes down, they didn't say it quite that dramatically, right? But if you find yourself in the need of a flotation device, right, you can take your seat cushion. You can put your arms through it. Or you can put this life vest over you. You can pull this cord. And if it doesn't work, you can even blow air manually into the life vest. And that'll do what for you? That will help you float. You see what happens when we float? The promise is that it'll sustain you. Your deliverance isn't in that cushion, right? If you find yourself in the ocean, that's not your deliverance. Your deliverance isn't in that life vest. But they sustain you until your deliverance comes. See, that's what hope does for us as people of faith. As people dealing with the waters that come up to our neck at times, even if we're not submerged from a devastated air flight, don't we all know what it is to walk through the perils of life when it seems like it's up to our neck? The things that I call the junk of life, don't we all know them? The challenges of family, of employment, of school, of being in the right social circle with kids, of dealing with the stress of the holiday season, of living with the grief of a loved one, or our own illnesses or peril. Whatever challenges that we face, we know the perils of walking when the storms and waters of life seem to about to overtake us. But hope. Hope helps us to float and sustains us through whatever waters the world cast upon us. It's a reminder that it won't last. That the end is in the glory of the Lord, says our scripture today. Did you hear how it was written by the gospel writer Mark? He says when God comes in what? Not when God sheepishly comes in at the end of time. No. But when the Savior of the world comes in glory. In a glorious return. Then whatever we face, whatever perils are upon us, whatever grief that we've known, whatever challenges are before us, they will be conquered forever. That's the sure and certain hope of the return of our Lord. Something better's coming. Whatever we're going through will not last. So people of faith, sustain yourself and be floating vessels of faith in hope. Now that's a sermon in itself. But friends, I like to believe and hold on to the words of Paul that were also parts of our epistle reading on this day. Now I'm really talking fancy now, huh? The epistle reading, an epistle is a letter. Paul's writings are epistles because they're letters to churches and people. Oftentimes they're intimate exchanges. Paul wrote in our reading for this day in 1 Corinthians, one of my favorite passages of scripture, 1 Corinthians, where he wrote to a church in Corinth. They didn't call it Corinth back then, they called it Corinth. To this church in Corinth, he says this. How about these words of hope? He says, in my paraphrase here, that you, as if he's speaking to us as modern day people of faith, you will not lack any gift. I like gifts, don't y'all, as we approach the Christmas season? He says to us, you will not lack any gift of the Spirit. Because hear this, he says, he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, will sustain you and strengthen you till the end. Now, friends, I like that. You know what I... Let's unpack that a moment. You know what that says to me? That not only is hope about something to come, not only is hope a commission to us to just hold on because it's going to get better, hold on to that cushion because our rescue is coming, we're in those waters of the ocean. No, it's more than just a proclamation of something to come. But in these words of Paul here, he says that the Spirit will strengthen us even now. We'll have the gift of the strength. And the endurance of the Lord. That says to me, in the modern day junk that I walk through and challenges family, life, church, and faith, whatever we go through, that God goes with us through it. And not only goes with us, but strengthens us for the journey. Wow. Hear those words of life, church. Pray as not those who have no hope, Scripture says, but pray and believe that God will help us and walk with us through every challenge of life. Now that's hope. You know, this season of the year, I often think of a visit I made once this time of year in my very first pastorate in Rogersville, Alabama. I sat in the home of an elderly lady named Miss Pauline, and Pauline lived alone. And she had a home that seemed somewhat dated. She had enough money she could have decorated it any fashion or theme that she wanted to, but she liked it just the way it was, the way it always been. Her clothes didn't really match, and nothing in her living room really matched. And she had, worst of all, this one lamp that stood out more than everything else. And it didn't go with anything. And worst of all, it'd been broken. This lamp had been cracked into all the way down, and somebody had recklessly put it back together and thought it was worth salvaging. Now, when bones are broken and fractured in such a devastation, they have to go through meticulous surgery by trained practitioners of medicine and put back together. But when lamps are broken, why, today we just throw them away, right? But that's not what Pauline had done. She'd put it back together, or so I thought, and she caught me looking at it. Her keen eye looked and she said, "Oh, I see you like my lamp." I said, "Why, yes, Miss Pauline, you think I can take it home with me?" She said, "Oh, no, that's a special lamp. You see, that lamp," she said, "hasn't always been a lamp. It was originally a vase. And a friend of mine gave me that vase. And upon delivery of this gift on my birthday, just as she was handing me the vase, I dropped it. It fell, and it broke half in two." She said, "I bet you didn't know it'd been broken." I said, "Well, I didn't really know that." She said, but my husband, who's no longer with us, my dearly departed husband, he took that vase, and he was an engineer. He could make anything. He could fix anything. She said he took that vase and he glued it. He put it back together. And then he transformed it from a vase to a lamp and made it into something better than it was. She said, I know that it has a big scar and scrapes along the edges, but the scars and the scrapes, we just ignore those. Friends, this is the season of hope. A time when God, the great engineer and creator of life, comes to us in our brokenness. Comes to us when the perils of life seem to be conquering us. Comes to us when marriage and family are harder than we can handle on our own, and we at times break it to pieces with our efforts. And God comes and puts us back together and transforms us into something better than we were. Friends, this is the season of hope. May you float as people of faith and live in His glory forever. Amen.